judgment that is coming. And we talked about it some this morning. The world is, it's in chapter 3 of 2 Peter, where we were this morning, is preserved for the judgment that's coming, and it's fire. And as I mentioned this morning, I do not believe that the Lord is going to use Korea or China or even America, some nervous military guy, to mash the button and the world to be destroyed by a nuclear holocaust. Here's a good question. Is there enough nuclear power in the world today to destroy the world that we know of? Sure there is. There really is. We have no idea what kind of power that we hold. But I don't believe God is going to do that. God is going to take care of it himself. I believe God has intervened before into mankind. He has shown himself more than once. And I believe he's going to do it again one day. That's what's going to take place because it's preserved. Now, what we need to look at now is chapter 8 of Genesis. And verse 1, chapter 8, verse 1, really the faithfulness of God. God is faithful to his people. God is faithful to in all his doings. And God remembered Noah and every living thing and all the cattle that was with him in the ark. God made a wind to pass over the earth and the waters assuaged. The fountains also of the deep and the windows of heaven were stopped, and the rain from heaven was restrained. And the waters returned from off the earth continually, and after the end of 150 days, the waters were abated. And the ark rested in the seventh month on the 17th day of the month upon the mountains of Ararat. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month until the 10th month. In the 10th month, on the first day of the month, were the tops of the mountains seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made and sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. He also sent a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. And the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the earth, whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Now, the faithfulness of God, we see that in the very first verse. God remembered Noah. Listen, God remembers his people. He will not forget his people.
Amen.
And that's a blessing.
Amen.
He will remember us. And sometimes you get this thought when you look at how bad things are getting and you're like, you seeing this? You are you hearing this? You know, you start wondering. We don't have to wonder. It tells us in the Bible. Romans 15:4 tells us that the Old Testament and all the happenings was written for us. And it's written for our hope and comfort. That one verse right there, there are two verses that we read that I've mentioned. One is chapter 6, verses 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That is a blessing. I like that verse. This verse in chapter 8, verse 1, and God remembered Noah. We need to always keep that in our memory. When everything seems to be falling apart, nothing seems to be working out, and the world looks like it looks today, we need to remember that God remembered Noah. He also remembers us. But I want you to notice something we just read in this. The mountaintop started coming up. So he's like, He sent out a raven. The raven never came back.
Do you know birds cannot continually fly 24/7? They will die. Now, where was he landing at? The dove went out and didn't find a thing. Come back because she was tired. Think about that. What was the raven doing?
He was landing. Ravens are trashy birds.
They like dead stuff. He was landing on all the dead bodies of people, animals.
That's what he was doing. He was going to and fro, waiting on the water, and the whole time he's wallowing around in all that filth. You know what's wrong with today's world? We got too many people that claim to be saved that go out and they wallow around in the filth of the world. And they're not coming here for rest. You see, we come here for rest, to be honest with you. We come here to get recharged and to go back out, because the world deals with us harshly most of the time. Watch the news. Deal with the people you have to deal with at work. Some of the rudest people in the world go to Costco. They do. They'll run you down. They'll fight over a buggy. Little old lady, 90 years old, about run me over one day, run into me twice. And I'm like, really? You know, she's trying to get over here, and it's like, But listen, that's what's wrong. I got parts falling off everything. That's what's wrong with our world is we got people that claim to be saved, but yet they're wallowing in all the filth of the world. You know, and it shouldn't be that way. But I really think that's what that's a picture of. But now back to what I wanted to say, God's faithfulness to us. You see, Noah had faith in God's promises. You got to ask yourself, do you have faith in God's promises? God said he's coming back. He said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He said he's coming back to call us home. One of these days, the rapture, trust me, it's going to happen. Noah, he had faith in God. God walked up to Noah, however they met, and he said, Noah, he said, build an ark. Noah didn't have no idea what an ark was. Let alone rain. Up until that point, it really hadn't rained. A mist come up, and that's how the earth was watered. It hadn't had no thunderstorms. I like thunderstorms when I sleep. I got one on my phone. I'd turn on and I'd just I'd listen to the thunder and the rain. They didn't have none of that. But he said, you build an ark because I'm going to bring a judgment on the world. I mentioned this some time back in a sermon. His granddad no doubt told him about what God was going to do. That's why he got it together, and he's like, wait a minute. I better start getting things together. And he found grace in the sight of the Lord. I'm going to tell you something about Noah. He believed in God's promises, and God didn't disappoint him. God saved him and his family. You see, true faith doesn't get in a hurry. True faith is we don't get in a hurry when there's true faith, because we know Noah waited until the word of God told him what to do. Amen. You see, he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He didn't panic. He just waited until God said, "What this is what I want you to do, Noah." We've got to wait on the Lord in our lives. You know, really, the first thing that Noah did when he walked off the ark onto this earth that had been cleansed through the flood is he worshiped the Lord. Let's read in where'd I stop at? He sent for the dove, verse 9. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot. And she returned unto him into the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her into the ark. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from the earth. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. And it came to pass after 600, and after the 601st year, in the first month of the first day of the month of the waters dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and behold, the face of the earth of the ground was dry. And in the second month of the 7th and 20th day of the month was the earth dried. And God spake unto Noah, saying, Go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Bring forth with thee every living thing that is with thee of all flesh, both of fowl and of cattle and of every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, that they may breed abundantly in the earth and be fruitful and multiply upon the earth. And Noah went forth, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him. Every beast, every creeping thing, every fowl, and whatsoever creepeth upon the earth, after their kind, went forth out of the ark. And Noah builded an altar unto the Lord. Noah didn't celebrate any birthday parties. Noah didn't go to any ball games. Noah didn't go fishing. Noah didn't go hiking to see what the Lord wanted to do. What did he do? He builded an altar unto the Lord and took every clean beast and every clean fowl and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not again curse the ground any more for man's sake, for the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. While the earth, by the way, this is a really good verse for global warming. Remember this verse. While the earth remaineth, seed time, harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, and day and night shall not cease. It might get a little hotter once in a while in the summer. We can attest to that over this past summer. 125 degrees on my back porch. That's in the shade. That's hot. It might get a little colder. I've been 40 below zero before. That ain't no fun. But there'll always be four seasons. I don't care how much. What's that junk in the car? Freon that we let out into the world. How much hairspray you ladies use, and some of you guys, you may use it. It doesn't matter what takes place. There will be four seasons. There will be day and night. There's going to be summer, spring, winter, fall, all the way as long as the world's here. We don't have to worry about it. Now, I don't think we ought to go out and trash out everything, okay? I don't think we ought to be littering everything. We do need to take care of what God give us. But we don't have to worry about it like some of these people panicking over cows that let gas. They ain't hurting nothing. They've been doing it a lot longer than she's been alive. And we're still here, and we're always going to be here until the Lord takes us out of here and destroys the earth with fire. That's going to take place. So we see the faithfulness of God. And we need to wait on Him. We don't need to get in too big a rush. And we need to have an altar that we go to, whether it's in our mind or whether there's a special spot in our homes that we go to and we pray and we thank the Lord for our daily lives and we study the Word of God, we ought to have that in our home. We ought to have a place that we give Him praise for His faithfulness, because He is faithful to us.
Amen.
Now, God's faithful to us. Are we faithful to Him? We need to be. Noah and his family, they were the only believers on earth. Can you imagine? All this vast globe, and they were it. Eight people. And you know what? They built an altar, and they served the Lord after the flood. What about before the flood? What were they doing? People were laughing at them. Look what they're doing. They're building. I guarantee his sons helped him build the ark. But they were faithful. They were faithful to God even before God showed them that you're going to be okay. I'm going to take care of you. They were faithful to him. Listen. We know there's a rapture coming. The Bible says so. Amen. We know there's a judgment coming. The Bible says so. But we're to be faithful to Him now.
Amen.
We really are. There's a lot of folk that ain't near as faithful to the Lord as they ought to be. Now, I myself, I'm a church guy. Brother Patrick has told me he's a church guy. I believe Jesus died for the church because why? The Bible tells me He did. He shed His blood for the church. The church is more important. The only thing more important is my family. God created what? The church? First and then Adam and Eve? No. He created Adam and Eve and then He created the family. I mean the church later. We're to be faithful to the church. When that new covenant is the church, we get saved, we're baptized into the church. The church ought to be important to us. It was important enough to Jesus that He gave His life for it. He shed His blood for it, Acts 20:28. We ought to be faithful to it. Now, yeah, we got to work sometimes. Like Jose, I called him a slacker, him and Freddie. They laid out this morning, probably went fishing. No, I'm kidding. They were called out on a job. They had to go. That's their job. I got a doctor. He's my heart doctor, Dr. Uma Compton. I don't want him being in church if he goes. I don't know if he does. I don't want him being in church one Sunday and I need him to operate and he ain't willing to leave. That's what the Lord called him to do. I'll be honest. I believe the Lord put everybody in the spot they're in.
Amen.
Sometimes they got to do their thing. You call a cop, you don't want him to say, well, let me finish Sunday school first. You would like for him to show up.
Amen.
There are situations where you can't. But I believe with all my heart that, listen, the church comes first in our lives with our families. Because guess what makes up a church? Families do.
Amen.
Husband, wife, children is what makes a church. Without a husband, wife, and children, you can't have a church. So I believe that's what the Lord wants. He wants faithfulness out of us. I really think that we need to be. I know it's getting harder and harder to stand on the Word of God, and it's going to get harder and harder. The longer the Lord tarries, it's going to get hard for us. But I believe the Lord will give us the strength to do what we got to do. I believe He'll give us the strength to stand in the face of all this danger that may come to be. He'll give us that strength we need. If we'll take a stand for Him. When we do what David said. David over in Psalm, he said, I won't be moved. I'm going to paraphrase. I'm not going to be moved. I ain't going to be moved very much. No, he said, I will not move. I am dead set on this. Ain't nothing you can do to change it. That's what we got to be, because the Lord's going to take care of us. How many times do you think Noah thought about quitting?
I imagine it crossed his mind. He's a human being. To my knowledge, Noah didn't do any special things other than he built an ark that he had never seen. He took the blueprint from God and he built it. And I'd say, with all the people making fun, him and Miss Noah was probably sitting around eating, and he, you know, I just don't know, honey. Are you sure we're doing the right thing? And I bet you she's just like her. You better keep doing the right thing.
That's true. There's been lots of times I've showed up at the house, and I guarantee you my mother-in-law's heard it from her husband. I am done. No more preaching.
She back them up. She does me more than once. She'll say, "Not really." I'm like, "Look, I'm just talking. Let me talk."
We got to stay faithful to the Lord. He gives us what we need. You see, God still cares for His people. And He still calls His people, by the way, to stand alone. We'll stand alone out here sometime. Paul says, "Everybody deserted me."
He said, "All but the Lord." You see, Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." Everybody around you might disappear on you, but I can assure you, by the authority of the Word of God, Jesus will not turn His back and walk off. He'll be right there when you need Him. But He needs faithful people. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, I think, maybe somewhere right there. Stewards, which is what we are to be faithful. We're to be faithful to the Lord. We need to be faithful to the Lord. Because, listen, we're getting into the point, I've told you this before, we're no longer a majority in the world as Christian, as believers. We're a minority. And it's getting even worse than calling it a minority. We're getting to the point in our society, in our generation, that people look at you do what on Sunday? I go to church. What do you do at church? I've had people ask me, what goes on at church? Well, we sing. We study the Bible. We listen to a preacher. What do they talk about? Jesus. They don't get it. Neither do they. They don't understand it. They can't figure that out. But yet that same person will come to you and say, "Would you pray for me? You know, would you pray for my friend?" I knew a guy. I won't say his name because I'm being recorded. I knew a guy that rode for a motorcycle gang called the Hells Angels. Super nice guy. He really was. Although his job with them was it. But anyway, I talked to him more than once about the Lord. But you know what? He'd say, "Man, I can't go that route. You know who I am." And I said, "Yeah, I know." But he'd come to me and he'd say, "Hey, Jim, would you pray for my dad? He's got cancer and he's dying." I said, "Yeah, I will." I said, "Where's your dad live?" And he lived a long way from where we were at. I said, "Yeah, I'll pray for him." You know, they may look at you and think, "I can't believe you'd go do that. You go waste your time in church." But yet they'll come to you because deep in here, they know where they ought to be. Now, whether they'll ever bend to it, whether they'll ever accept the Lord, that's for the Lord to know, and one day we'll find out. You know, one of these days we're going to get to heaven and we're going to see some people and we're going to say, "Wow, I didn't know they were going to get here." But they listened at some point. They read a track at some point. Somebody went out and knocked on the door and told them about the Lord. "Oh, well, I don't have time for that really, but I'll take it." And you never know at the low point of that person's life when they're going to say, I need Jesus. And we may never know until we get up there.
That's right.
So we got to continue serving the Lord and being faithful to the Lord. Even though times are getting tougher to do that, we've got to be faithful to the Lord.
Amen.
And we got to be, honestly, we got to be faithful to the Lord's church. Because this is the way that the Lord wants the work done on this earth, is in and through His scriptural church. If, listen, I'm going to be up front with you. If the Lord didn't have, if the Lord didn't think the church was important, He wouldn't have instituted. He wouldn't have called the apostles, and He wouldn't have empowered it on the day of Pentecost with the Holy Spirit. It wouldn't have never happened if He didn't think it was that important. And He wouldn't have died for it if He didn't think it was that important. We need to make sure that we're being faithful to the Lord's church. In more ways than one, and I'm not going to get into all that because we ain't got time tonight. No, I'll hit on a few. This one hurts. Your pocketbook. Yeah, that irritates people. Don't mess with my money. Now, you mess with everything else, but not the money. Listen, that's the way churches operate. Through finances, and the Lord plainly lays it out. We're to tithe. And if you don't want to tithe, guess what? The Lord will take it one way or the other.
That's right.
You ever had to buy a blown out tire?
Come on, Pastor.
That's a fact. I wouldn't tithe for a long time, and she'd get on me all the time. You need to tithe. And I'm like, why? I barely go to church. And I wasn't tithe one week because I needed the extra money, or thought I did. And I'm serious as a heartbeat. I blew a front tire on a Peterbilt. It was within like 15 cents of being what my tithe would be. And it was a new tire. It shouldn't have blown. And I'm like, maybe I ought to tithe. There have been more than once that I did. I'll tell you another place. I'll get off the money. I'll leave you alone. Prayer.
Amen.
How much time we spend in prayer?
Yes, sir.
Prayer is important.
Preach.
Praying is, listen, the armor of God starts out in chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Tells you all about what you got to have. The shield of faith, helmet of salvation. You got to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But it ends in verse 18, P-R-A-Y-E-R. If you've got all of that on and you ain't praying, you're just carrying around a lot of excess weight.
Amen.
You got to do that. You got to have prayer. Prayer in our devotional life at home. Well, we come to church. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Genesis. I won't pick on you. How much do you read the Bible? Honestly, then ask yourself, how much? I got to hand it to my mother-in-law. I'm going to brag on her. As long as I've known her, which has been a little over 47 years, that's a long time, man. I've seen her, anytime I've been around her, she got the Word of God. We bought her years ago a Schofield, a big, huge one. She has wore that thing out. You can open up the pages. It's got stuff written on it. I'm praying for so-and-so and this. Listen, she studied her Bible. She has been an example that I can follow.
Amen.
My father-in-law, I've walked in the house many a time and sit there and seeing him studying the Word of God. And it wasn't Sunday. And he was a pastor. All those years that I sat under him off and on listening to his preaching, and it's amazing how it comes back. And I can still hear him saying all sorts of stuff. And my wife, she'll say, "Where'd you get that from, your dad?" My wife, she reads her Bible every day. Sometimes it's a hit and miss. It's 5 minutes here, she runs into something. She comes back, I go in there and the Bible's open. She's checking into it, she's reading it. We need to spend that time studying God's Word. Everybody's got their own little way of studying it, but we need to spend it. Because we spend too much time
on this thing here. We really do. Oh, I turned. No, it's still on. We spend too much time on an iPhone or an Android. I'm not going to let you out, Will.
You get saved, you'll get an iPhone. No, I'm kidding. We spend too much time on them. We spend too much time in front of the TV.
Yes.
I pay a fortune for cable through Cox, and I've turned it on one time in the last week and a half. I need to cut that out. But anyway, the bill. We spend too much time with everything else. We need to be studying the Word of God. Do you think that Noah found grace in the eyes of God because he was just the average old Joe? No. He took it serious what he'd been hearing from Methuselah and all of that group that we've studied about. He took it serious what they talked to him about. They talked to him about God. They talked to him about the judgment that was coming. He took it serious. They didn't have the Bible like we've got, but he knew enough when he walked off the ark that he built an altar and he served the Lord. And we ought to get serious with it. Because if we don't, listen, people are not going to pay attention to us. We really do. We need to get serious about how we look in public.
Amen.
I won't go. Yeah, we ain't got enough time to get into that. One of these days, it's coming.
Amen.
It's coming. How we ought to dress, how we ought to act, all of that's coming.
Yes, sir.
Because, listen, it's important, and especially in our day and time, we need to be setting the right example. Because these people out here, they ain't got a clue what's coming. They think this world's wicked. Listen, this world's like kindergarten compared to what it's going to be when the Holy Spirit leaves. But when the Holy Spirit leaves this world, it's going to be a mess. It ain't going to be a good place to be. And they need the Lord. Sometimes I see, and I've been bad about this over the years, I see somebody and I think, good grief, look at that person. What were they thinking?
That's right.
But honestly, they got a root problem. It's called they ain't got Jesus.
Right.
If they had Jesus, they wouldn't be doing, acting, and looking the way they look.
That's true.
All right, I've got to get off of all that.
We need to stand for the Lord the same way that Noah did before the flood.
Amen.
Noah took a stand. He was all by himself, and he took a stand for the Lord. We need to do the same thing. Now, we got a great example because when the Lord dumped him out of the ark, he went straight out, and what did he do? Built an altar and worshiped the Lord. He wasn't mad. I can't believe God killed all them people. No, he was praising the Lord that he found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
We need to be praising God that we found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And then we need to serve Him faithful like He's faithful to us. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand.